Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. In an article from the Hawaii Reporter, it was entitled, Hawaii, Hot Spot for Human Trafficking. Friday, February 24th, 2012, Malia Zimmerman wrote, Hawaii, quote, Hawaii is a hot spot for sex and labor trafficking. So much so that when Google.org awarded a sizable grant to the Polaris Project and International Justice Mission last year to work on the ground in five key states to help establish stronger laws against trafficking, the Alliance chose Hawaii as the first stop, unquote. Jim Mendoza of Hawaii News Now, in an article entitled Sex Trafficking in Paradise, posted on February 10th, 2011, wrote, quote, pick any night in Waikiki and you'll see prostitutes plying their trade, pimps protecting their property, and a darker side of nightlife, screaming, sex for sale. This is a multi-billion dollar a year industry, said Catherine Sion, co-founder of Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery, PASS, P-A-S-S. Sion calls sex trafficking the modern-day slave trade. On a global scale, law enforcement ranks human trafficking second only to drug trafficking. Pimps force women and young girls into prostitution, then move them from city to city. With its high turnover tourist population, Waikiki's ripe for the sex trafficking circuit. Some girls on the street are local recruits, but most are from out of town. Beyond the high heels are horror stories. Zion hears them over and over. She says, if they don't do what they're told, they are severely beaten or raped or both. Starved, other forms of torture, she said. It's all about power and money and greed. Well, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and I am aware that just with an introduction like that, wow, it certainly doesn't sound like the good life at all. It sounds like the dregs of life, the sad, broken horrors of life. But isn't that why the Lord Jesus Christ is so meaningful to us? That in the broken, dark side, Christ comes in not only the best of times, but the worst of times. And today, whatever you're facing, I want you to know and be assured that Christ knows you and he loves you. And we are going to talk about some very sensitive things today. But just know that Christ is here to minister to you, even through what we're going to talk about today. Veronica Lamb, she grew up in Delaware. Yeah, that's the first state. She's here now in the 50th state. She's married to Lee Lamb. And Lee Lamb, for those in the volleyball community, you know of Ka'ulu Koa. And Lee Lamb is the founder of the Ka'ulu Koa Volleyball Club. Veronica has been used by the Lord to bring hope to women who've been victimized by human trafficking, specifically the sex trade. She's here with us in studio. And let me warn you that some of what we will air today may be graphic and disturbing. At the same time, a greater level of awareness is needed. Just as Jesus was not afraid to minister to people in society who are lost, rejected, lonely, abused, so neither should we? Names that are spoken may be changed for purposes of anonymity, and this also will necessitate a certain level of discretion in our dialogue. Veronica, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Vern, I'll just call you Vern. I know a lot of people call you Vern. You just came from the hospital recently. Mm-hmm. We almost had to postpone today's show due to a situation with someone. Tell us a little bit what happened.
It was one of the girls that we care about and has just become a part of our life and our community. And she's pregnant right now. And in the middle of the night, she started experiencing some contractions and a lot of pain. And that was just really scary because she's still in her second trimester, not even to the third trimester yet. And so we had to do a middle of the night run to the hospital and we just basically rolled out, covered up our pajamas a little bit and rolled out to the hospital and was hoping that it would be maybe a quick trip that, it'd be taken care of. But it ended up lasting, well into the morning, daylight hours. So it's been a long day already and it's not even noon.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
In spite of that. How big, Vern, how big is this problem?
It's hard to have substantial numbers around it. Because we haven't really had laws in Hawaii specifically to address the victims and to treat them as victims, it's hard to actually get numbers to figure out exactly how many victims there are or survivors there are here in Hawaii, how big the sex trade is. It is true. Any night of the week, you can go down to Waikiki in the area that they call the track, and you can see the girls working. There's multiple tracks around the island. There's hundreds of strip clubs and some of the karaoke bars that front tons of massage parlors, relaxation spas, all of these fronts for prostitution. There's just hundreds on our island alone that operates every night, every day, 24/7. The sex trade is operating behind the scenes.
Now, it's kind of one of those things where we, it's there, but you don't really want to, touch it.
Yeah.
I'm speaking in general terms about people who actually, you live in Hawaii, you grew up here. But it's huge. It sounds like it's bigger than any of us realize. It's easy to say, okay, maybe someone's going to another country. Yeah. And it happens somewhere else. But from what we're getting here, it's a major thing here in these islands.
Oh, definitely. I mean, outreach teams that are on the streets just focusing on one track, it's not uncommon for them to meet anywhere from a dozen to 20 girls, and that can be a slow night on a busy night, or if there's a big convention in town, or if there's a big sporting event like the Pro Bowl, something like that, there may be 40 girls that you can meet on the street within just an hour or two.
So that would certain
that's
times
the
like
tip
that.
Of the iceberg, like
really
that I mean that's the part that's in your face. That's the part that's very obvious. Anybody who is walking through the area with their eyes open is able to see what's happening. Very much so, the tip of the iceberg.
Vern, take us deeper. What's going on, that's the tip. So what's going on below the surface of the water?
Below that, I mean, you have the internet that is able to connect people at any time, right? So you can have people working out of residential houses. You can have people running girls out of hotel rooms. They don't even have to be on the street to be able to interact with potential customers. The traffickers or the pimps, they have a network of contacts that they can also reach out to and encourage them to, like, hey, I got a new girl in town, or I got, somebody fresh, you should come check it out, that kind of thing. And then you have multiple tracks on the island. Like I said, we have these massage parlors or relaxation spas that are fronts. I mean, I can drive down some of the streets in town and I can just stand in one location and I can point out a dozen of them, like within eyesight of just that one street corner. Mm-hmm. And we just don't realize it. And it really is. It's kind of like it's behind this building, or it's behind that sign, or it's above over there. It's in these little areas, nooks and crannies. Mm-hmm. That are hidden to most of us because we're just busy, you know, we're just running the longs, we're running the Walmart, we're getting our shopping done, we're doing this and that. We're not really looking in all of these nooks and crannies, but you come out at night and maybe you go around and you let God open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, let him open up your physical eyes to see what you haven't seen before, and these things just start popping out at you all over the place.
I want you to share with us about the human element. Mm. Just in talking, I mean, it's very easy to begin to describe things and to talk about just that, how a pimp would speak about a girl,
yeah,
or a woman who is, like a piece of merchandise,
yeah,
and use those kinds of terms, you know, and very easily forget that this is a human being, that this is somebody's somebody's daughter,
mm-hmm,
somebody's sister, someone's cousin, someone's friend, and yet a lot of it is going on. I think there is explicitly so much more that goes on, as you have said, behind the scenes. And there's the spiritual eyes that need to be open, mm-hmm, for us to begin to really see. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that within the spiritual climate and the spiritual dynamic of what takes place, and Christians can talk about things with the awareness of spiritual realities that manifest themselves in, physical manifestations that take place in people's lives. But when we come back from our break, I'd like for you to share about the human, mm-hmm, element. Who are these people? And maybe even, we hear the word pimp. Now, it sounds like these pimps have networks where, mm-hmm, they kind of work together even. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you can share how that is. And maybe even on the level of these are individuals as well.
Yeah.
Because, Vern, you interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
You interact with the prostitutes. You interact with the pimps. And so when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about these are dark things. And they happen every single day. Somebody might be involved in it that you know in some way, form or fashion. Perhaps you've been involved in some way, some form or fashion. Well, in all of that, God is pouring out grace right now. So stay with us. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of The Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It indeed is a subject that is rarely spoken about. People know about it, but you don't really necessarily know deep things about it. It's one of those things also where you don't necessarily want to think too much about too, or let yourself realize that it's actually happening, and it's happening in a prolific way. And it's not far away in another country. It's happening right here in Hawaii. It happens in large scale throughout the United States. We're talking about sex trafficking. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my featured guest today, Veronica Lam. Veronica has a very unique ministry in working with and ministering to, in the name of Jesus Christ, with the love of Christ, ministering to women who have been entrapped, or you might even just say enslaved, to this sex trafficking you can call it industry. You know, it's just hard sometimes to put words to things, and you know to things that are happening that are so horrific that's going on. Well, in light of that, you know, I do want to say a big thank you to one of our corporate sponsors, Burt's Union Service, that makes the program The Good Life Hawaii available to you. And thank you to our other corporate, church, and individual partners. And to find out more how to partner with us, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, this show is available for free downloads, and you can listen to it, pass it on. You might be tuning in right now, and that kind of give you a recap of what we're talking about. You can download it for free, pass it on to a friend, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, Vern, the human side of things, take us back, or give us a glimpse of what it's like for a girl to get involved.
A few years ago, I met one girl. It really stuck out to me. She was 15, getting ready to turn 16. She had been found in a hotel room, and some law enforcement had called me. They personally knew me, and they knew that I cared about the issue and was trying to help figure out ways to help individuals. And so they had contacted me, and so I show up, and there's this 15-year-old literally curled into a ball and sucking her thumb on the bed.
16-year-old?
15.
15.
She hadn't turned yet. She hadn't turned 16 yet. And it was amazing because at times she was very bold. She was very sassy with the cops and everybody like that. But then at other times she is literally curled into a ball, like in a fetal position. And sucking her thumb and reverting to this very childlike state. Mm-hmm. And I got to know her a little bit because this was just a day or two before her 16th birthday. And anyway, helped take her home that night and talked to some of the parental figures in her life. And we were like, oh, wow, you're turning 16, like trying to make things sound a little bit better, you know, a little bit encouraging for her, get her mind off of the evening, that kind of thing. And then she was like, oh, are you coming? Like, are you going to do something with me? And what we realized was that there was no event planned for her 16th birthday party. There was no friends. There was no parents in her life that were planning to do anything with her. And so having just met myself and another individual or two, she was hoping that we would come and celebrate her birthday with her. And so we were just scrambling to get out to see her on the next evening after this being a very late night. You know, this is kind of a middle of the night kind of thing. So it goes into the next morning, and then, you know, we're trying to do work and life, and then we've got to somehow get out there and suddenly plan the 16th birthday party. But what really stuck out to me, besides that situation, was that she was very excited to show us some of her art and some of her poetry. And she's just a very artistically gifted girl, an amazing singer. But what she showed us, she wanted us to know a little bit about herself, is she brought out this poem that she had written about a trash can. It makes me emotional to think about it, because she wrote this whole poem about a trash can and how it was shiny and new in the beginning, but then people just threw trash in it, and people just kicked it around, and people left it on the side of the road. And so she went through this whole poem, and she said, that's me. Like, I feel like that I'm the trash can. And it's emotional to me, because I've never experienced that in life. That's my state of mind. That's where I'm coming from, in a place in life of where I feel like that I am nothing but something that people throw garbage into. I'm nothing but something that people kick around, that they leave on the curb, that is dirty and now scarred and is not pretty, and just all of these kinds of things. And so for a 15-year-old who's turning 16 on her sweet 16, instead of thinking about how her family loves her, how people are around her, that kind of thing, this is what she's thinking about, is about how she's a trash can and she's ruined for life already. Another one of our girls that we got to meet that was underage, she was around the same kind of age, 15 turning 16 kind of thing, and she was with one of our volunteers, one of our mentors, and trying to explain things, and the mentor was trying to speak hope into her life, and she just stopped and she said, look, you need to understand, I'm a whore, and I'm always going to be a whore. And that was her outlook at 15 or 16 years old. And people, the reason I share those things is because people see the 20-year-old, the 21-year-old, the 25-year-old, the 30-year-old, maybe in the sex industry, and they think, well, this is her choice. You know, she's just that kind of a woman. She's just that kind of a girl. And she chose this. And if she had followed whatever, if she had made better decisions in life, then she wouldn't be in this state. You know, it's her fault. She deserves whatever she gets, that kind of thing. She's the problem, you know? And that's just not the case. You know, even when we meet women that have been in this for 20 years, they're now in their 30s. They still operate almost as if they're that scared little teenager trying to figure out their direction in life. Most people don't realize the average age of entry into prostitution is 13 years old in the United States. I've met plenty of 13 and 14 year olds here in Hawaii. The youngest girl that I ever met had actually just turned 12 years old. What's horrifying to me is not only that there would be people who would barter and sell these girls and these women, these children, as commodities, it's disturbing to think that there's enough buyers in our market to be able to support that. If most people in the sex industry are starting out at the age of 13, that means that most buyers are buying somebody who is 13 or 14 years old. And that's something that we don't think about a lot. And it's easy to put the blame on the individual, especially on the woman once she's an adult. But really understanding that emotional, that human aspect of them, the rawness of where they're coming from. One of the girls that we know, like I said, she's been out there for close to 20 years now. She's now in her mid-30s or so. And she told us, she's like, I don't want to come out here. I hate coming out here. but there's something inside of me that tells me that I have to be out here every night at this time and I can't leave. And I honestly believe that that was an internal struggle, that was a spiritual struggle that was actually going on inside of her. But that is what has been ingrained in her life every day for the past 20 years. This is all that she's known every morning and night. This is what you do. She never got to finish school. She never got an education. She's never had individuals pouring support into her, telling her that she's actually valuable, that she's beautiful, these kinds of things. You know, all that she's been told is just she's a sexual object. There's a lot of grooming that goes into this process for the underage girls or for even the young adult girls when they get into it initially. There's a lot of physical wounding, emotional wounding, spiritual wounding also. A lot of times the pimps may even have Bible verses tattooed on them, and they present themselves as a savior figure, particularly if the girl is having a rough home situation where it's not really safe. Maybe there's family members that are abusing her. Something about the home situation is not safe. He'll come in and he'll try and meet that need. So he'll say, oh, you can stay with me, or he'll feed into her with compliments and just saying, oh, you're beautiful, oh, you're amazing, you know, this kind of thing. Oh, I love you so much. If she's coming from maybe a poor background, not having a lot of financial support in her life, he'll take her shopping, these kinds of things. There's this whole honeymoon period of specifically trying to make this girl dependent emotionally on him. Because once you control the emotions, or once you control the heart, once you control the mind, then you've got somebody, right? Once you've got them wrapped up mentally, you've got those heartstrings wrapped up, it's very hard for them to unwrap themselves. So it's this, you know, hey, baby girl, I love you. I'm taking you in when nobody else is taking you in. You know, your family kicked you out. I'm here for you. I'm never going to let you go. I'm always going to be here for you. I'm going to buy you stuff. I'm going to get you food. You know, it's me and you, baby. Like, it's us forever. I want to marry you. I love you. All of this kind of thing. And then eventually that honeymoon period starts to end. And then it's like, oh, baby, you know, I love you. You would do anything for me, right? I would do anything for you. Like, you love me, right? Like, I've been paying for everything. I've been taking care of you. You know, it's getting a little bit tight. It would be great if you could help out. You know, like, wow. Could you do a favor for me? Wow. You know, it's just my friend. You know, just kind of easing into it. And, you know, that's what we call the lover boy approach, or finesse, or something like that. That's the whole, that's the mental, that's the heartstrings. You do have the very violent pimps or traffickers where right from the beginning it's violent. Like, it's almost like a kidnapping or an abduction. And then it's just brutal, you know, rape, gang rape, very physically violent, threatening of the family, this kind of stuff. Maybe blackmail, like taking video or taking a photography of the actual rape or the abuse, whatever's happening, and then threatening to send that to the family members if the girl doesn't go along with what he has planned, this kind of stuff. So there can be a very violent introduction, but most of the time it's this emotional heartstring, mental kind of, you know, just reeling them in.
Vern, this is heavy.
It is.
It's, you know, we're opening another window for people to even just get a glimpse in, and just to hear what you're saying of what goes on a regular basis. It certainly is that disturbing. It's disconcerting, and yet it's something that Christ would look at, and Christ would care for this girl. And odd as it may seem, and it's even hard to even, from a human standpoint, any father, I'm a dad, you know, I'm an uncle. I mean, to even think about Christ's love for people, that Christ would even love a pimp, you know, And I guess we've got to look back and think, who is really pulling all the strings here? It's these people who have somehow, through the course of time and culture and the society in which we live, or the segment of society in which we live, have succumbed or just completely surrendered to the wiles of the evil one, the devil, mm-hmm. who's like the puppet master mm-hmm. of all this horror that takes place. And we are really in a spiritual battle. How many times do you think these, as you're listening today, these girls, these women would wish, as Vern, you and I were talking, that they could just become invisible from the street and just blend into the wall, like you said, and just disappear. And part of it is just the hopelessness and the despair that they face, having to live with themselves and the shame and the disgust. Well, sometimes when you look at the ruinous parts of life, sometimes it's there that you see the contrast of the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Christ, in his redemptive power and the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago, that Christ can make a broken person whole. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk with Veronica Lamb. I call her Vern. A lot of people call her Vern. We're going to talk with Vern about spiritual hope and the hope that she's bringing in the name of Christ to these very women. These girls who are like women because they're so young. And then also these women who have been doing it for years, been entrapped, enslaved. And how God has been using her ministry, the ministry of her church, to bring the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ. Love. Aren't we all looking for love? Searching, longing, hoping that someone would love us in spite of all our failures, all our brokenness. His name is Jesus Christ. And whatever you're facing as you listen today, there is always hope and love in Jesus. We'll talk more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You.
Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. You are listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and my featured guest today is Veronica Lamb. Veronica has a very unique, special, and actually a much-needed ministry, a ministry that there aren't a lot of people doing it, but it's because it's rough, it's hard. And if you were listening even to the tail end of our last segment, you realize that it is heavy. And let me just give a word of warning that the content, some of the things that we're talking about are graphic, it's disturbing, and at the same time, it's something that people who are followers of Christ at some point in their life need to know and be aware of what actually goes on. It certainly tugs on us in areas of compassion. But the disturbing part is that it's happening. These things go on every single day to people that are like our family members even, and maybe even family members. Some things are open. Some things are done in secret. But disturbing nonetheless, but that Christ can, he doesn't flinch and turn away. He takes his loving hands and he moves in with his arms of grace and mercy to minister to people and to love people in the roughest points of life. To find out more about this show, to listen to it in its entirety, if you're tuning in right now, you can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. And also, I would encourage you, this may be something you might want to send to a family member or a friend to help them understand better or to comfort them, strengthen them, encourage them. Especially in this segment, it's going to be one of encouragement. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Free downloads are available for you. Vern, it was heavy, the last segment that we talked about. But let's contrast that with some great news of lives of young women, girls, women who've been in it for seasons of time, long periods, but who have gotten their lives back. And have you seen that happen in
your ministry? Yeah, absolutely. It's been amazing. God has gave me the opportunity to work with maybe 40 to 50 women and their children coming out. Of out of the industry, and I'm very proud of all of them because most of them have transitioned into a life that is pursuing their actual dreams and desires. Our girls, they've gotten themselves scholarships. They're going back to school. They're completing maybe high school or GED. They're going to college. They've got their eyes set on the military. They're getting married. They're having kids. They're raising their babies. They're getting custody back. They're taking care of their parents. They're reuniting with their family and healing those old wounds of past. These women are absolutely amazing. I always tell people who are wanting to get involved, you can't get involved and it not change your life. You can't hear about this and it not change your life. And you can't expect to change somebody else's life without changing your own. And these women are so brave, these girls. I mean, they just face hurdle after hurdle, and they charge it, and they keep going, and they pick themselves back up when they get knocked down, and they just keep going, and they just keep fighting for the dreams. And what we speak to them is that God created them to be special. God created every one of us to be special. And he fights for us. And he is our Father. And he loves us unconditionally. And there's nothing that we can ever do that would make him not love us.
Vern, give us an example of one of these 40 girls. Pick one. Tell us what it was like. What is this? What steps? I mean, have you seen to go from the streets under the authority and control of a pimp in this sex industry? How did they come out of it, and how did they become restored to, now they're getting married, going back to school? How does that happen?
Usually sometimes it's just a decision that she makes. She's done with it. Very rare that that happens. Usually something traumatic has happened. Usually something very physically traumatic has happened that necessitated the intervention of some sort of healthcare or law enforcement or something like that. So there's usually a traumatic experience. And the first thing that I'm typically concerned about, I mean, one, their safety, but really it's getting the shame and guilt off of them. And that requires her to be able to step out in faith a little bit, you know, like, you come with us to church, come with us to this Bible study, or let me pray over you tonight before you go to bed, or give you a Bible. We have these amazing little Bibles that we got from XXX Church, which is a ministry on the mainland. And it's called Jesus Loves Porn Stars. And it's actually a little segment of the Bible included with all of these amazing inspirational stories of people coming out of the sex industry. So whether that would be porn stars, escorts, prostitution, porn producers, whatever it is, them coming out and finding Jesus and them being able to share their testimony. So it's just filled with testimony after testimony, declaration of Jesus's love for us. And then, you know, pieces of the Bible in there also. So it's sort of a little Jesus Loves Porn Stars Bible. So that's an amazing thing to be able to give. But basically, they're opening themselves up at a very vulnerable time, and they're stepping out in faith and trusting somebody, because a lot of the people that they've trusted in the past, that's fallen through, and they've been hurt by that. And so that's their first leap of faith, is really trying to have trust that we actually care, that we're not actually going to leave them stranded, that we're there for the long haul, that we believe in them, that we will fight for them, we will stand behind them. And then it's there's just so much to go through as far as fighting addictions to money, believing that you're worth something, that kind of value and that self-confidence, and being able to step out and being able to try new things, being able to forgive the people in your past. So that may be the people that let you down, that may be the people who hurt you, kind of walking through those kinds of steps. Then you've got the public eye kind of things. Like, how do I step back out there and try and get a real job? You know, how to get a real job is one of the biggest hurdles. Not because they're not capable of doing something, but running into customers is a regular thing. Even when I'm with the girls, like, whether they're adult or whether they're underage, we try and go to the movies, we try and go to Walmart, we try and go to the grocery store, we try and go to the park. Running in the customers all the time. So how do you change your life when you've got these people, one, looking at you, either bringing up that old shame and guilt that you've been trying to get off of you, or they're actually walking up and propositioning you right there in broad daylight and tempting you with that whole money thing and like, hey, it's just real quick, you know, why not, this kind of thing. You know, it's just always being thrown back into your face. And then, you know, trying to get a job and you can't run away, right? So if you're waitressing at the restaurant and your customers come in, you still got to serve them. I mean, what are you going to do? Tell your manager? Like, oh, you know, this guy used to be, how are you going to explain that, you know? And then especially if you've got a record, like even if you've been forced into prostitution, if you've been arrested for prostitution, it's on your record. So every time you go to apply for a job, they're going to pull that up. Or every time you go to get a loan, they're going to pull up your arrest history. Every time you go to apply for an apartment, they're going to pull up your arrest history, these kinds of things, right? So it's just things that they have to be willing to face. And it's actually been amazing. I mean, for a lot of our girls, the doors have opened. You know, there's been a job that just somehow opened up for them and they're able to get their foot in the door. There's been a place to live that has opened up for them and they've been able to get their foot in the door. They've been able to walk through some healing and reach out to their family, be able to renew those bonds and those relationships there. And that opens up doors for them and makes them feel empowered, makes them feel like that they have people behind them, that they're not alone in the world, that Jesus is with them, you know. And of course, we have a lot of spiritual ministry. I mean, tons of intercession over every one of our girls. Tons of prayer, fasting.
You know, that part, when you talk about the spiritual part. I mean, it's all spiritual. The whole slavery thing is spiritual forces of darkness totally encapsulating someone's life and the deliverance of it, the spiritual freedom that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Vern, what you're talking about here is the real life 21st century today, right here, right now. Jesus Christ can save lives.
Yes.
And deliver people. We need to hear that again and again and again, because we're not talking about some distant, you know, story that was really dynamic. We're talking about Christ is saving people's lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Today.
He comes with miracles. Like, if I didn't believe in miracles, there's no way I would do this, because it's impossible. There's nothing that I can do to make all this work. There's nothing that she can do to make all this work. Like, it totally requires an act of God. And whether that's an open door, whether that's a miraculous healing, whether that's a deliverance, whether that is freedom from addiction, whether that is protection from the enemy, the physical human enemy or the spiritual enemy. It's just amazing how God shows up and protects these people that we care about and that we love so much.
Now, you're talking about women that come under your care.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of glossed over it a little bit. And there are places, you know, on the island, right,
mm-hmm.
where people are women, girls, can go. What are they called, these places?
Well, we have, connections with a number of safe homes.
Is that what it's called, safe homes?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I would call it. Just basically places where they can be safe, where they can be accepted,
mm-hmm.
Where they won't be judged for what they've done. And they can also be confident in knowing that it's confidential.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from our break, maybe, Vern, let's talk a little bit about that. Because, you know, we know there's hope, but we need a bridge to hope.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody may know of somebody right now who is caught in the thick of things. Somebody themselves might be caught in the thick of things and may need a bridge to a place where there's safety and they can receive these things that they so desperately need. I'm here with Veronica Lamb, a very unique ministry she has, and certainly a very unique person, distinctly called by God. And when we come back, we'll talk about these safe places, these safe homes, and also how in the world did she get called to do this, hear God's voice and then respond to it. And God still speaks to people, calls people. He's speaking to you today too. So stay with us. We'll be back with much more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of The Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
You ever wonder if God can take somebody's life that is so torn and broken, that the soul of this person has been so lost, lonely, empty, that they wish they weren't even born, or they wish they didn't even exist. Well, where Christ can take that person and remind them of how valuable they are, because God created them, and take whatever was broken and make them whole again, brand new. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm here with my featured guest. I'm Danny Yamashiro. This is the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. My featured guest today is Veronica Lamb, and she's been talking about the sex trafficking that goes on not only in Hawaii, but all over the United States. Of course, it goes on all over the world. But we're talking heart to heart about how Christ has delivered many women under her ministry who have been involved in sex trade and prostitution. Vern, we talked earlier about safe places. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to connect, maybe somebody knows someone that could sure use some help, how would they do that? How do they connect?
I think one of the easiest ways to find information. You mentioned Catherine Gian before with PASS, Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery. They're well connected around the island. They have a website, www.trafficjamming.org, and you can also email info@trafficjamming.org. You can also contact me if you want to through my church, which is Blue Water Mission, and that would be the same kind of thing, info@bluewatermission.org. And those are two resources where you can reach out and just kind of explain what you heard, what you're feeling, who you think might need a helping hand, and you'll be able to get connected.
So that's info@bluewatermission.org. Mm-hmm. info@bluewatermission.org. How does a young lady from Delaware, the first state of the union, come all the way to the 50th state of the union, and then get called into this ministry? And by the way, your husband is leading one of the strongest volleyball clubs here in Hawaii. So for those in the volleyball community, her husband is Lee Lam of Kaulukoa fame. But how did it all come together? How did you get involved here doing what you do?
Well, I was originally pursuing a direction in life towards construction management. And Hawaii was one of the few schools that had a certification in construction management. And I felt like that I was called to come to Hawaii. Kind of funny to say, like, who doesn't want to move from the country to Hawaii?
And in Delaware, you weren't in the city, right? You were living more of a rural type
Yeah, there's hardly a city in Delaware. No, I was definitely in the rural area. Okay. There are a lot more chickens than there are people in my area.
Got it.
Farmland. So, yeah, I mean, totally moved from, like, the cornfield to Hawaii, middle of Waikiki. Thought that I was here to go to school. Thought that I would be able to volunteer with Habitat for Humanity, that kind of stuff, build houses. But just being in Waikiki the first couple of nights and seeing the girls working the street, it just totally affected me and captured my attention. And I would just watch them, and I was so confused because it was winter time for Hawaii. So it's a little bit cold, it's a little bit windy, it's a little bit rainy down in Waikiki, particularly if you don't have a whole lot of clothing on. Like, it's definitely chilly, and I could see these girls were just freezing. Like, they were cold. They looked miserable. I mean, they were very assertive when the customer would walk by. But once a potential customer was gone, I mean, like you said earlier, they just looked like they wanted to melt into the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, if she could disappear just completely and be invisible, that's exactly what she would do. And it just felt like that I could see this. Spiritual eyes. I just felt like that's what I could see. And, you know, it perplexed me. But I was trying to figure out what I was doing in life, and I wasn't connected with people. I didn't know anybody here, so we're just winging it. And, you know, it took a few years for it to develop past that. But basically what started happening was that God gave me a series of dreams. Mm. And these dreams lasted for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, every night. And they were very intense and very graphic. And I didn't know what it was at first. I thought I'd just watched too many horror movies. But it was people being kidnapped. It was being people forced into the sex industry, forced into labor situations. And it was happening here. It was happening on the mainland. It was happening across the nation. It was happening in other countries. It was even happening in different centuries and time periods. It was almost like it was generational, sometimes chasing family members. So I would see it affecting one family member's life, and then the next generation, and the next generation. And it was very graphic, to the point of like CSI or something. Mm-hmm. And I would see it through the eyes of maybe the family members. And maybe the family members were selling the person. Maybe they were working with the perpetrators. Or maybe they actually cared about their loved one and they were searching for them. I would see it through the eyes of the victim as they were being tortured or raped or killed. I would see it. I would feel their emotions. And then I would also see it through the eyes of the perpetrator sometimes. So as they're committing these acts of violence and terror, I would feel their emotions and their anger and their hate and their sickness and all of that. Very disturbing, obviously. Every night I would have these, but it wasn't nightmares. It wasn't happening to me. It was like I was watching it. And I didn't say anything about it for a long time because it's kind of crazy to talk about that. But eventually I talked to my pastor, and he told me, well, if you're not scared, if they're not nightmares, then maybe God's trying to say something, so ask him.
Vern, you asked him. The Lord answered. The Lord led you. And now God is using you to bring hope in Christ to so many, many women who need the Lord Jesus. Vern, thank you so much for coming and sharing right here on our show.
Thank you.
It's been a blessing to have you. In the next few days, you're going to be hearing stories, inspirational stories. Sometimes it's disturbing, but hope-filled. Hope and faith through Christ. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. To find out more about our show and get this particular program, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org and invite someone to listen in each day at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Veronica Lamb. Connect with her at bluewatermission.org. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor.
Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.